Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 7 is still over, but we're just getting started answering your feedback questions here on the Walking Dead post-show recap feedback show. And now here are the two guys who are still waiting to hear when that prayer group was going to be. I thought I would have seen a sign about it by now. I'm Rob Sister, and here's Josh Wiggler.
I ate the sign.
You ate the sign.
Sorry.
Well, there is a food shortage in Alexandria.
I was looking for crackers, couldn't find any. I just saw some scrum diddly umptious looking pieces of paper, so I ate that instead.
Yeah.
And now, Rob, I'm tripping ball.
Oh, no.
I don't know what Father Gabriel put on that thing, but it's awesome.
Wow. Father Gabriel is really, what does he have up his sleeve?
I don't know, so much.
Yeah.
But I think I can podcast. I think I'm clear-headed enough for that.
So much going on, Josh, that we are really just on the precipice of Thanksgiving as we record this. We are on the precipice of the Walking Dead mid-season finale. We've got so many questions to answer. Very exciting time.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Rob?
Nothing. Just what I like.
Nothing.
That's what I like.
But this is the best holiday.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That we're going to just have dinner at my house, and then it's just going to be my family, and nobody's coming over, and we're not going anywhere.
Very private. Very private Thanksgiving for
That's what I like.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah. One of the perks of, living on the other side of the country. No travel, no nothing.
It's a bad travel day. I'm happy that I'm not traveling.
Yeah, there's a lot going on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. But the task at hand, Josh, here today is we should be thankful for all of the great Walking Dead that we have to talk about here going into what should be a very exciting finale. I feel like that the Walking Dead does tend to get like the beginning and ends of these half seasons right. It's like all the stuff in the middle that can get a little wonky.
It can be. I don't know if that's always true, but it has been true before, and it seems like it was true this season. I really like those first two episodes. I like a lot about the third episode, even though it was, what kind of catapulted us into this whole Glenn conspiracy period of time that we've been in. I really liked the Morgan episode. And then now, and Always Accountable, we're just a little slow. And then this episode was, a little frustrating. But I feel like we're in a really good spot for the season to wrap up in a cool way.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens this Sunday night. Should be a good show. Can't wait to get into it, but we have a lot of unanswered questions heading into that, and that's what we're here to do on our Walking Dead feedback show. Of course, then we will be live on Sunday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Again, no Talking Dead. They're watching Into the Badlands over on AMC right after The Walking Dead, so we will be your place to go for your live Walking Dead recap, and then next week, we'll be back to talk about everything from this first half of the season on our feedback show.
Yeah, wrapping up, getting it done.
Don't miss any of it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to postshowrecaps.com/iTunes or for the dedicated Walking Dead feed, postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Okay, where do you want to start the discussion today?
Should we start with the balloons? Should we start with Spencer on the wire? Should we start with the blood that's oozing through the fence? Those seem like the top stories, right?
Sure. The balloons are always the top story. Well, in honor of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, maybe we should start with the balloons.
It would have been nice if they had some turkey balloons that could have floated up over the wall. That would have been good.
Oh, here comes down Fifth Avenue. It's the Glenn is safe balloon. Wow.
Oh, my God. It's just a giant dumpster with a head poking out from underneath it.
Yeah.
That's the balloon?
Yes.
The dumpster balloon?
Yes.
I like the dumpster balloon. No, let's talk about Glenn. We got to talk about Glenn. Actually, do you know what's cool?
Everything.
Everything's cool. We have an exclusive, Rob.
Oh,
We have an exclusive that we can unveil here on the Walking Dead Feedback Show here on Post Show Recaps. This is very exciting. We have a listener, a fan of the show named Annie, who happens to be a huge fan of The Walking Dead and knows the writer of this past episode really well, and often gives this writer notes and feedback and just kind of commiserates over any plot problems that are going on. And so Annie recorded her reaction to reading the script for this past week's episode for the first time, and she supplied us with the audio. So let's hear that from Annie.
Well, this is very exciting. All right, here's Annie.
I'm sorry, Paul. This is all wrong.
What?
You'll have to do it over again. It's not worthy of you. Throw it all out.
I really value your criticism, but maybe we're being a little hasty here.
Paul, what you've written just isn't fair.
Not fair.
That's right. When I was growing up in Bakersfield, my favorite thing in all the world was to go to the movies on Saturday afternoons for the chapter plays.
Cliffhangers.
I know that, Mr. Man. They also call them serials. I'm not stupid, you know. Anyway, my favorite was Rocket Man. And once it was a no-breaks chapter. The bad guy stuck him in a car on a mountain road, knocked him out, and welded the door shut and tore out the brakes and started him to his death. And he woke up and tried to steer and tried to get out, but the car went off a cliff before he could escape. And it crashed and burned, and I was so upset and excited. And the next week, you better believe I was first in line. And they always start with the end of the last week. And there was Rocket Man trying to get out. And here comes the cliff. And just before the car went off the cliff, he jumped free. And all the kids cheered. But I didn't cheer. I stood right up and started shouting, "This isn't what happened last week! Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us! This isn't fair! He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car!"
All right. There's Annie with her reaction to reading the script for Heads Up for the first time.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty intense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What do you think about that?
Did Glenn get out from the cock-a-doodle dumpster?
Yeah, apparently he did. But did we get cheated? Did they cheat us? By the way, I believe that Annie is not friends with the writers of The Walking Dead anymore after that.
Yeah.
I think that they removed her from the room. No, of course, that's Kathy Bates from Misery, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
This is a great scene from Misery, the 1990 movie, based on the Stephen King story. And it has been conjured up by like every single critic that I have seen talking about this episode of The Walking Dead, just independently of each other. I've seen this YouTube embed in every single one of these reviews, and a lot of people saying this sums up exactly how I feel about what The Walking Dead just did to me.
I do feel like that this moment in Walking Dead history is a bit of a line in the sand where, yes, I feel like that there's a lot of people, probably you and I are, it's fair to say, are in this camp, are in the sort of, that was kind of cheap what they did.
And not in the Ryan Aiken sense.
No. Kind of a cheap cop-out way. It's
cheapo
like,
depot.
Whatever. We'll live with it. But there are other people who feel like that, oh my God, this was absolutely the finest hour of The Walking Dead because, you know, they did it and Glenn is alive.
I haven't seen much of that. I haven't seen much of like, this is amazing. I've seen a lot of people who are in the camp that you just described that you and I belong to, which is kind of annoyed, a little frustrated. For me, I'm ready to just pick up and move on. Let's just get over that. Don't do that to me again, Walking Dead. I'm done with that kind of twist. Don't play that to me again. That's where I'm at with it. Then I think that there are people who are really angry about it, where the line in the sand is, here's the line in the sand, and I am never crossing it again. I'm done with you, Walking Dead. It's over. I think that a lot of people are in that camp. And then I think that they're just the people like, all right, I'm glad that Glenn's alive. This is great. I'm not that rubbed wrong by it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that anyone is saying that was genius.
No, see, I disagree. See, I've done a deep dive, much like Glenn, into the dumpster and looking at like Facebook comments and like Walking Dead, like group posts and stuff like that. And there is definitely a contingent of the hardcore fan base that is like, this was great. That the Walking Dead redeemed itself here with this.
Redeemed itself. But we knew that this is exactly what was going to happen weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, even less about we knew that Glenn was going to survive. We knew exactly how he was going to survive. He did what Jessica Frey told him to do. He stopped, dropped, and rolled.
Look, I'm just telling you that there are some of these people that are, and you know, really from the Walking Dead show itself, I feel like that is what the reaction that they're looking for, based on the reaction of like, you know, Scott Gimple and people like that on The Talking Dead, or is like, you know, this was exactly what they wanted you to feel.
Right. Let's talk about Scott Gimple a little bit. We've got a voicemail from Eddie who wants to get our take on Scott Gimple, the showrunner of The Walking Dead's vision of what he wanted to do here with Glenn. Let's hear it from Eddie.
Hey, Wolf Chachos. It's Eddie. I wanted to get your thoughts on Scott Gimple's explanation for the way he handled the whole Glenn situation. He basically said that he wanted the audience to feel the same uncertainty that the characters, specifically Maggie, feel when a loved one is missing for only a day in this world without a single ounce of modern technological connectivity and with the danger lurking around every corner. So, thanks. Bye.
All right. So that's Scott Gimple's explanation for why he had this whole situation with Glenn. He wanted to put us in the shoes of Maggie, who didn't know what had happened to Glenn for about a 24-hour period. Did that work?
No. No, it did not. It didn't work for me in that way. But I think we get it, what's going on. You know, I feel like that they really did try to shoehorn this explanation of, see, that you got to feel what it was like, because sometimes in the Walking Dead universe, somebody looks like they're dead, and due to trick photography, you find out later that they're not.
Right.
And that, I don't think that's exactly what happens. Sure, there is uncertainty in terms of all of this, but nobody seems too uncertain. Maybe Rick has mentioned it in passing about Daryl and Abraham and Sasha, but the Glenn thing just does feel like, you know, that's a good explanation, I guess, of what's going on, but they really dragged it out.
They really, really did. They really dragged it out. Rob, you're always on Talking Dead Watch. We didn't get to talk about Talking Dead on the Walking Dead live show because Talking Dead was airing after you and I were airing. We only got to talk about Steven Yeun's video message. What was your take on Talking Dead this week? Can you catch us up on what we missed if we didn't get to see it?
You know, they were really just, you know, very proud of this whole, like, charade that went on with this big stunt. And just talking about, you know, Steven Yeun was talking about how I think that this was great for, because, you know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, something bad happening around the corner. You know, there is reasons to be optimistic still in this world, and Glenn living was a part of that. And then also just talking about how, from the creators, about how we wanted you to experience what Maggie is going through in terms of, you know, Glenn was missing and we wanted you to be worried, but then it turned out that he was okay. And I don't know, they're just really, you know, they do like the smell of their own stuff over there at the Walking Dead.
What does it smell like?
Like wonderful chocolate chip cookies.
Mm, like Carol's cookies?
Yeah.
Those smell good, I'm sure.
They were just, there was no sort of like any possibility of even the notion that maybe this wasn't a great idea.
They love the cock-a-doodie dumpster.
Yes. Yes, they really did.
This was AJ Mass, who filled in for us last week on the Walking Dead live podcast and has been a great supporter of this podcast, has appeared on it many times. He left a comment on postshowrecaps.com with a little bit of a suggestion of how this whole Glenn thing could have played out differently. AJ wrote, "So, at the end of the day, with the whole Glenn situation, would this all have gone over differently if they simply had ended the initial Nicholas Glenn scene with them falling off the dumpster and cutting away, rather than the guts being pulled out shot? Wasn't the real issue the execution of the cliffhanger and not the decision to make this a cliffhanger? No shot of guts, no reason to have Yeun on Talking Dead, controversy averted." Would that have averted the controversy, do you think? Do you think that this is more about the trickery of what we were led to believe visually at the end of Thank You, of seeing guts being pulled out of a body that looked at first glance like it belonged to Glenn, only to find out with a wider camera angle a few episodes later that, yeah, it was just Nicholas?
Yeah, I think that that probably would have been less controversial, but that's not what they wanted. You know, they wanted you to walk away from that episode after episode 3. Glenn is dead. Glenn is dead. And then it was just sort of like the possibility that Glenn wasn't dead was never really in the narrative of the show. Like, that possibility only came up through like social media and rumor and like people just saying, you know, I heard that Glenn's not really going to be dead. Like, right. What are you talking about? Like, no, go back and look at it if you look at it this way. So it wasn't in the narrative of the show that Glenn could possibly have lived.
Right.
So I think that maybe if you weren't exposed to the possibility that he was going to be alive, maybe, and I can't imagine what that experience was, and maybe that's, you know, the people that are like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus, Glenn is alive.
Right.
Then maybe, you know, I just didn't experience it that way. I experienced it like, what, are you kidding me? That's what they're doing? No, that's not a good way to do this.
given what you and I do, Rob, it would be hard to experience that way. You know, it's our gig to watch these episodes really, really closely and pick apart every little bit of meta information that comes across our desk. This was a hard one to ignore.
The audience is too smart now to do something like this. So if you did this in the beginning of the episode and then revealed by the end of the episode, Glenn wasn't actually dead, that's the way that you could get over on the audience, I think, on this. Because, and even though there are people that are tweeting during the show, if you did it in the course of 1 hour of the show, I think you could pull this off, and I think it would have been a cool trick. But right. To try to do it over the course of a month, it was just anybody who was exposed to the internet or social media or any sort of information about The Walking Dead, I think they were kind of onto this.
Right. And I think that the other piece of it, too, is if the intention is to make you feel like what it's like to not know what happened to your loved one for a day, it was a lot longer than a day. And granted, you're not going to air back-to-back new episodes of The Walking Dead, probably, but at least a week would have been a little bit better than a full-blown month.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's worth pointing out. But I did get a couple tweets on Sunday night when I was obviously annoyed about this thing and, you know, expressing my annoyance on Twitter. And I mean, you and I have been talking about this in kind of exasperated tones for weeks now. And one tweet I got from Adam Jennings, too, was, "Say what you want about Glenn's fake death. It was cheap, not believable, but it's been the most fun discussion since Where is Sophia?" Do you agree that this is, A, do you agree that we haven't had a more fun discussion about The Walking Dead since Where is Sophia? And B, is this that discussion?
Well, I had also seen in the comments on posterrecaps.com that we were sort of called onto the carpet about, like, don't you get it? Like, this was all marketing for the show,
yeah.
And it got people talking about it. And it's like, yeah, I guess so. I really wonder what would the conversation have been through episodes 4, 5, 6, 7 if we weren't sort of embroiled in this, you know, is Glenn alive or dead controversy.
In Glenngate. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to think. I mean, I think the conversation probably would be like, whoa, this season slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, we're still on that one day.
Yes. So I think that that would have definitely been a different conversation over the course of the season.
Yeah. I want to give the opportunity for my buddy R. Philly to come to the defense of The Walking Dead. R. Philly, who is a great supporter of the podcast, is always leaving comments. R. Philly is on the side of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
R. Philly responded to AJ's comment on postshowrecaps.com, and R. Philly wrote this. "I agree with that sentiment, AJ. Over the last few weeks, I have adamantly defended Gimple's choice to create distance between Glenn falling and the reveal as to what happened. I appreciate people's frustration about it, but I like it when shows take some creative risks. And I understood the intention to put viewers in Maggie's perspective of uncertainty about Glenn's fate. It wasn't inherently a bad choice on their part, but clearly the audience overwhelmingly feels like they missed the execution on this one, despite my personal perception. I tend to believe that if they cut the scene with the fall, the hysteria would have been mitigated. The irony is, from all the interviews I've seen, they seem to feel like the storm of controversy the choice created is exactly the result they wanted to achieve, in that it stimulated a collective conversation, never mind that it was mostly negative criticism, and breathed some new life into water cooler conversation for the last month, despite the age of binge in which we currently exist. The joke, I believe, is on us."
Right.
So that's mirroring what you just said about how, you know, a conversation was started. We were talking about it. I think if you're saying that this was a marketing ploy, we played into the hand. I mean, that's even what Scott Gimple said on The Talking Dead, right? He's like, you know, what's your response to the reaction been? And it's kind of like, I can't believe that we've started such a conversation. And it's a real, testament to the community we've built and all of that stuff. So they're spinning that positively.
Yeah. I think that the "is Glenn dead" was really like the Kardashian of plot devices, where it's just the kind of thing where everybody loved talking about it, but it just created a big firestorm of publicity around the show.
Right. The Kardashian. That's good. I like that. Incidentally, it's Snooki who spoiled the fact that Glenn was still alive.
Yeah. What did she do? I saw that people were saying, OK, Glenn is spoiled, or Snooki spoiled everything about Glenn. But I never had the heart to go and look at what Snooki did.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I checked that out. And Snooki, after the episode where Glenn seemingly died, where it was so clear that Glenn did not die, Snooki tweeted out a photo from, I think, TMZ that showed set photos from The Walking Dead for further along in season 6, where Steven Yeun's just hanging out on set. And granted, it could be Steven Yeun's just hanging out with his buddies. It doesn't look like a particularly active scene is being filmed. He could just be hanging out in Atlanta. Maybe it was the show trolling people and saying, like, oh, this will keep them guessing about Steven Yeun. But it looked pretty clear, like, well, Steven Yeun's still going to be on the show. And Snooki's like, hey, oops, Walking Dead, here's Glenn. And that happened within like 24 hours of thank you.
Yeah, really? Where does Snooki get off?
Snooki blew it up.
Yeah.
Snooki spoilers.
Yeah.
We got to get Snooki on the podcast.
Yeah, well, she is a fellow podcast oneer. So maybe somewhere down the road, we can get her to talk some Walking Dead with us.
I feel like that'd be good. All right. Well, let's take another voicemail. Let's take a voicemail from David Bloomberg. Of course, we're still talking about Glenn, and David Bloomberg is going to get all David Bloombergian on the Glenn situation. So let's hear it from David.
Hi, this is David Bloomberg, and I would like to talk about why The Walking Dead lost its credibility. The main reason is I believe they schemed and plotted too much. They seem to think that this made people talk about television and their show in particular, and this was a great thing. And on Talking Dead, everybody on there was going on and on about how great this was. This leads me to question, have they lost their credibility, as I said, or are we the ones who are lost? Are we the ones who are just out in left field saying that this was a terrible idea and they lost their audience and we will never believe them again? What are your thoughts? Thanks. Bye.
So there's David. I think that the core of the question is the ones who are frustrated by this, the people who have been disappointed by this decision on The Walking Dead's part, are we the vocal minority? Are we the people who are just, you know, shouting into the void and no one really gives us not?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Yes, 100%.
I mean, absolutely, that we're just calling this out and, you know, we're frustrated about it. But I think that has anybody that you know that watches the show, is anybody out after this? No, it's just that I think that the people, I think the base really like this.
Yeah, no one that I know in person. I mean, I know people online, some people that I follow on Twitter, people who've listened to the podcast, people who watch the show. I've seen some people be like, nope, F that, done, out. And who knows? I mean, I can't police them. I can't check in on them and see if they're still watching the show or not. I know the people in my life who I'm friends with, family members, people who watch The Walking Dead, who I talk to about the show in between episodes. You know, we've talked about the Glenn thing, and I've heard a lot of, oh, it's annoying. But nobody's saying, I'm done, I'm out. Just a lot of people like, eh, whatever. So I don't think that too many people are throwing their remotes through the TV over this, or throwing their TV out, or canceling their Walking Dead season pass or anything like that. I think that most people are sticking around. So do you think about David's point about the credibility thing? How badly does this shoot The Walking Dead's credibility, or do you think that this is a forgivable offense? What do you think is the ultimate takeaway? And we can clarify this with a written comment from the prolific Steve Davis, who wrote in, is the bigger issue the fact that we will now be questioning every death on The Walking Dead? And I think it's like that line of questioning that kind of is tied into this possibility of the issue of credibility.
I mean, did The Walking Dead really, at this point in time in 2015, have that kind of credibility? I mean, this show was never a Mad Men. It's not really considered to be in the serious drama sort of, like, it is a fun show that we really do enjoy talking about. Otherwise, we wouldn't podcast about it. But it's just not, I think, taken that seriously by anybody. But it has mainstream huge appeal. And it's sort of like the big budget blockbuster that's, you know, making hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office, but not considered for an Oscar in, you know, when the Academy Awards roll around, where it's like, oh, well, that wasn't believable. Well, you know, the show's about a zombie apocalypse, and so they really just play fast and loose with that reality. So I don't think that it's held to the same sort of like credibility standards that some other more serious dramas might be.
Right. I do think that a lot of people take the show pretty seriously. I do think that people take a lot of the characterization seriously. I think that there are people who are very, 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 very deeply invested in Rick Grimes and the people that he travels with, and hopes to high heaven that things like what may have happened to Glenn won't happen to their favorite characters.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, for people who do take it very seriously, I wonder about the people who really, really are super, super invested. And I love The Walking Dead. I have a great time talking about The Walking Dead, but I don't lose sleep over The Walking Dead. I do think that there are fans who probably do. And I wonder, you know, how many of those fans are, you know, what's the divide between people who are just like, oh, thank God Glenn is good, let's move on. And then what about the people who are really heavily involved in the show or interested in the show who are now thinking, well, that really changes a lot of how I view about the show. You know, that really F's with the way that I'm invested in some of these characters. You know, if we can just Deus Ex Machina or Deus Ex Dumpster Glenn out of this situation, you know, what does that say about this show that I'm invested in? Should I really be that worried about the themes, about the developments in these people's lives? So I do wonder about that. That's not me necessarily, because I'm mostly just really heavily entertained by this show, but I do know that there are people who take it really seriously on the level that some people analyze Breaking Bad and Mad Men and shows like that.
The show has a bit of a problem, Josh, and I think that this has shined a light on it. You know, there was a contingent of the Walking Dead fan base that after Beth died, you know, they treated like a person really died, and there was a petition to make Beth not really be dead. So you have a show that's built around, okay, anybody could die at any time, but the fan base seems to really hold the show hostage with a lot of like, if Daryl is dead, I'm out. If you kill off this person, I'm not watching the show anymore. You know, so there's a lot of like that. We riot if you kill any of our favorite characters on the show. Like, you can sort of like, you know, shuttle through the secondary characters, but if you kill any of the leads on this show, we're out and we riot.
Right. Yeah, that's troubling. And I think that, you know, it's like the whole we cannot negotiate with terrorists thing. There's a reason why that policy exists.
Yeah. And the show has to handle it where they have to send Chris Hardwick out there. Like, I don't know, maybe Glenn's going to be okay. We'll have to see. Just keep watching. I don't know. Maybe it'll be all right. I hope so. I hope Glenn will be okay. I hope so. So, you know, they really have to just like string the audience along at times, where I think the people need to come to grips that, you know, if you want to live in this world, you want to watch The Walking Dead, Glenn could die.
Yeah. Again, by the way, that is why I don't envy what Chris Hardwick has to do. That's a tough job. That's a really difficult job, and I think he does a really good job with it because it's what he has to do.
Yeah.
I hear that. I totally hear that. And I think that that's one of the things that's always been a noticeable difference between the comics and the show for me, is that the comics is really ruthless with its main characters. There are a few who... there's really only, you know, one that feels completely untouchable. And even that character, you know, the Rick Grimes of the world... I would not be surprised if something happened to Rick eventually, but the comics are ruthless, really, really vicious with killing off main characters, and not even killing them quietly, killing them in really loud, graphic, terrible, traumatic ways. And the show has really shied away from that on a lot of fronts. You know, a lot of people don't expect anything could ever happen to Daryl. Maybe Glenn was in the mix. Now we are wondering, is Glenn ever touchable? You know, could anything bad happen to Michonne or Carol? Robert Kirkman at New York Comic Con says, we won't kill Carol. You know, there's this divide between the show that I feel like is not really willing to really, really take one of the major, major, major pieces off the board. And that's no disrespect intended towards Beth or Herschel or Tyrese, who are great characters played by really talented actors, and it's sad to see those characters go. They're not the inner circle. And
who's the inner circle? Let's just get those names down.
We've talked about this before. It's Rick. I would say, you know, Carl, Glenn, Carol, Michonne, Daryl, Maggie. You know, I think that's the inner circle. And it's hard to imagine the show pulling the trigger on one of them. And that was what was momentarily exciting about the Glenn thing, where it's like, wow, you did that? And then the conversation quickly turned to, oh, you didn't do that, and you just wanted us to think you did it. And I think that a lot of people are wondering, like, well, are you ever going to do it? And if you're not going to do it, did you just really tip your hand in terms of how far you're willing to bet? You know, how much you're willing to put into the middle of the table? So the comics, I feel like, are really, really great about that. Sometimes to the comics' own detriment, where you get the sense, it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't killed that character off there. It'd be great to have this character here right now. But at least they're willing to do that. And I do that. That is a frustration of mine personally as somebody who reads the comics, that the show has not been willing to go that extra mile. And the Gwen thing was an opportunity. And if the show ever does take that swing and really take somebody very important off the board, I will be the first to stand up and salute the show for taking the shot. Even if it ends up leading to, you know, stories that aren't fantastic or a lot of fan disappointment, I will at least applaud the show's willingness to really take that risk, because that is the world that these characters are supposed to inhabit. Not, you know, you can't wear plot armor forever. So I hope that the show gets to that point. It didn't get there with Glenn this time. I hope that it can in the future with you know, some of these main characters.
That's what I thought was so brave about when I thought that Glenn was dead until we came on the air and you were like, ah,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is such a great season. I can't believe that they did this. Now, do you feel like is Game of Thrones also victim of this, or have they managed to avoid this where they can say, okay, we'll kill anybody. We don't care what your reaction is.
Well, yeah, they've pulled the trigger on heavy hitters. They've pulled the trigger on very important characters decisively. And yeah, without saying names, there's this whole thing that's going on with Game of Thrones right now about an is he or isn't he, or an is she or isn't she. I think that HBO right now is having a lot of fun with that. You know what we're talking about if you're a Game of Thrones fan. And if not, go look that up. I think that Game of Thrones pulls the trigger. Game of Thrones, or swings the sword, as it were. Game of Thrones really takes heads off, and it's decisive. And I appreciate that about Game of Thrones in a very big way. It's not always what you want. You don't want to see a lot of these good guys lose their heads. You don't even want to see a lot of these bad guys lose their heads, because they're so fun to watch. But there are real stakes in that world where main characters die frequently. I love that about Game of Thrones. I wish Walking Dead was a little more willing to go to the mat with that kind of thing.
Do you think that The Walking Dead has made a mistake where they have sort of capitulated to their fan base too much, to the degree of, okay, we worry about, oh, we're going to get slaughtered at Comic-Con if we do this, or we're going to really hear it on social media if we do this, so we can't make the choices that we want to make?
No, I don't know if it's that. I mean, maybe it's that. I have no idea. I can't presume to know. I think a lot of it probably is like, oh, but I like working with Steven Yeun. Oh, I love working with Norman Reedus. And oh, people love Daryl Dixon. That's good for business. So I think it's less about like fearing the Walking Dead fans. I think it's more, you know, this is good for our show. We trust these actors. We love these actors. These actors bring in viewers, and that's good for business. I think a lot of it is business oriented. I don't know. That could be a separate podcast.
Okay. Just for the record. Okay. The Bring Beth Back petition had 65,848 signatures.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big number. But I mean, that's a slice of what The Walking Dead gets in viewers, you know?
Beth Green was killed off in the mid-season finale in season 5 of The Walking Dead. Her death was far too soon, and the writers threw away the potential of a perfectly good character. Her story wasn't over. Emily Kinney and her character don't deserve this. There was so much more that could be done with her character, and they choose to kill her in a disgusting, unsatisfying death that caused more anger and disappointment than shock and mourning. Beth was a symbol of hope that a lot of women could relate to and see in themselves, especially self-harmers who saw her as someone who overcame their suicidal depressive feelings. By sloppily killing her, it just shows that she was used to further a man's storyline. Daryl, in parentheses, we realize that the circumstances she dies in are irreversible, but this is television. Anything is possible. By signing this petition, you can at least show your support for Beth. Show Emily Kinney how much we love her and want her back.
Wow. Maybe they could have revealed like a secret CDC that had a whole laboratory filled with Beth Green clones.
Yeah.
That could have been the way. You know, So just to like dive into that a little bit, I think I hear those complaints. I think that the thing that I would lean on is the sloppy nature of the killing of Beth. I did think that that was sloppy, and we talked about that at the time. It's like, really? That didn't really make a ton of sense. And the way it was shot was just a little wonky, and just how that all played out was really strange. But the feelings that that conjures up in the viewer, the fact that this is a character that a lot of people relate to and connect with and believe in and see themselves in, and the fact that that character doesn't survive in this world, and that makes you upset and that makes you sad, well, that's what good fiction is supposed to do. So, you know, those responses to me, that is, you know, that's the mark of success. But in terms of the emotion aspect, the thing that I, you know, don't like about the Beth thing is just the way that it was done was, it was not done great. But I don't know. Now it's a double-edged sword because then you kill the main character off and you do it in a shitty way. And then I get annoyed. And if you don't kill the character off, I get annoyed. So, so no, it's a lose-lose.
Yeah. But my point is 65,000, signatures on the petition for Beth. We're right. talking about Beth, not yeah. we're not talking about Glenn.
It's not
we're
Mike talking Tyson. About Beth. It's Beth. right. Okay. R.I.P. Beth. I do love Beth. Emily yeah. Kinney's great.
Sure.
She's been on The Flash every once in a while. It's good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how about that? We can put a pin in the whole mystery behind Glenn. Glenn is alive, everybody. It's done. The Walking Dead did what it did. Let's move on, or at least Rob, you and I, we can move on, and everyone else, it's your choice whether you want to move on with us.
Absolutely. I feel like 100%. We've talked this thing to death, and it actually is probably going to go hide under the dumpster and still be alive for us to talk about many more times, but I'm glad we got this all off our chest, and I do think that there is a good portion of our audience that agrees with us. I know there's certainly people that don't agree with us, but I'm glad we've been able to have these conversations, and it has been very fun to talk about over these last couple of weeks.
It has been. It's been a good debate. It's been a healthy debate. It's been fun to talk through. I'm smiling right now. I've smiled a lot in the past few weeks. I don't take this stuff too seriously. It's fun for me to pick apart a show like this, and it's fun to kind of just look at it under that microscope. But the situation's over. Crisis averted, or it happened, but we're alive.
At the end of the day, we're still talking about TV.
Right. We're good. All right. Well, let's move away completely from the Glenn thing, and let's talk about some other grievances.
It's like Festivus.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a voicemail from Wendy Younger, who has some grievances to air, and that'll lead us into some new things to talk about.
Hey, Rob and Josh. It's Wendy from Olympia, Washington. On the last Walking Dead Live, Rob mentioned a few things that really didn't make sense to him, like the helium balloons, that they wouldn't be so floaty by the time Glenn and Enid got to them. Or the fact that Glenn was covered in Nicholas guts and the zombies would be attracted to that. I'd add to it, not to mention that Glenn's head was moving, zombies would attack it. His legs weren't covered, zombies would attack him. But I'm going to bring up something that's been annoying me since our group got to Alexandria. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And that is the way the wall is built around Alexandria. All the braces are on the outside of the wall. It just seems structurally unsound from the get-go. And I'm just wondering, have either of you ever noticed that? Have you even thought about it? Or maybe some of the other listeners have. I bring these things up with my family when I'm watching, and I'll just say my 13-year-old son response is, Mom, it's a TV show, and it's a TV show about zombies. So how realistic is it going to be? With that, thanks for humoring me. Over and out.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. Great call.
I love that. That's like a Shaggy Dog voicemail where the punchline is, guys, it's a TV show, which really just summarizes everything that we do.
Yeah.
You know? But I like that. I like the grievance against the wall. Let's go immediately into a voicemail from Justin Holcomb, who also has a grievance about the wall.
Hey, Rob and Josh. Justin from Reno here. My question is about the walkers around Alexandria. Back in the prison, enough walkers eventually built up and broke down the gates outside of the prison. Why wouldn't Rick and the gang learn from their mistakes and start killing these walkers outside of Alexandria instead of letting them just hang around and bang against the walls? Also, isn't it better to kill the walkers than herd them? Love to hear you guys' thoughts. Thanks.
So we got some problems from Wendy about how the wall was built. We got some problems from Justin about what our people in Alexandria are doing with the walkers outside of the wall. Are these things bothering you, Rob?
Well, I hadn't thought about the point that Wendy raised about the wall. And I think we talked about this on Sunday night, that Reg, the architect, may have just been pretending to be an architect. He may not have actually been a real architect. I think we stumbled onto something there.
Custodian Reggie.
He might have always just wanted to be one and then just told people he was one after stuff started to go down. In terms of what Justin brings up, our good buddy Justin Holcomb, I would say that I think that the difference here is that they used to go ahead and like stab zombies through the head, through the chain link fence.
Yes.
I don't think that the fences at Alexandria are chain link.
They've got that one hole.
Yeah.
Where all the goo is going through.
Yeah. And the other potential problem that you raise is that, you know, the walkers are sort of like, you know, like 10, 12 deep. So you couldn't like get out to go and stab them with a spear. And then the other problem that I had seen raised, I think, on the Walking Dead subreddit was that you start like killing enough walkers near like the fence, they could sort of just like climb on the carcasses and eventually sort of like you have like, you know, 4 feet of zombie carcass where it's
zombie mountain.
Yeah. Sort of like a World War Z type scenario where the walkers could potentially start to get over the wall.
Right. But I mean, I do think that there's a good point with the chain link thing, because that was very useful.
Yeah,
that you could just stab right through the chain link. So, I mean, if we were to redesign Alexandria, we know that Deanna's thinking about this already. Deanna's thinking about what should we do here in Alexandria to make this place a little bit better. I would like to volunteer the idea of an outside perimeter chain link fence.
Okay.
That's like the first line of defense.
Yeah, so that was kind of like how the jail was set up, where it was right. Sort of like there's like an inner pen, and then you want an outer pen of chain link fence.
Yeah, because I think it's great, because then the walkers, they come up to that and you can just poke them through the gate. And then if that's suddenly not working and they're starting to make the zombie mountain, then you still got the big super barrier that's surrounding Alexandria after that.
Ideally, a moat in between would also be good.
That would be great. We know that they're not great in water. They get waterlogged very easily, these zombies.
Yeah, that would be good. So
but then you're just going to have like a zombie bridge eventually.
Oh, eventually. Yeah. So maybe we'll skip the moat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be good to have sort of an outer perimeter, because then you have the privacy also, the security and the privacy.
Right. Correct. Lori Smith had written into us with another grievance about the fence. Lori wrote in, at the end of the episode, the tower fell forward and toppled over the fortified fence. As the huge gash with timbers falling haphazardly during the show was on the other side of the tower, wouldn't the weakened structure have fallen away from the fence? So
yeah.
What do you think, Rob? Did the fence defy the laws of physics here?
I'd have to go back and take a look at that and get a really good sort of sports science sort of like watch it like the Zapruder film and see how that ultimately toppled.
My eyes just glazed over. I don't know what you just did to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that was. You said sports and science and I'm out. I'm done.
It's like a thing they do on ESPN sometimes.
That sounds good. Podrick Racer has a voicemail that is also about the tower falling down and maybe something that we aren't considering, or at least something that you and I have not really talked about.
Josh and Rob, Podrick Racer here. Got a question for you about the church falling down. Do you think that was a totally natural occurrence, or was there something else involved? Did the walkers knock it over, or were there wolves hiding in the church? Love to your thoughts. Thanks.
What do you think, Rob? Is there church sabotage going on right now?
No, there's no sabotage. And also, I think that we got some comments on this that it wasn't the church that fell down. It was just sort of like a watchtower, that it wasn't connected to the church. Because we had wondered if maybe it was some sort of divine intervention after Rick threw away Father Gabriel's flyer. But no, I think it was just some sort of a watchtower that they had. I don't think that there was any sort of sabotage. I think we would have seen a little bit more about that.
Interesting. So it's just a watchtower? It's not the church? That's definitely not how I read it.
I thought it was the church also, but people were saying in the comments, it's not a church, it's a tower.
Mm, got it. Well, yeah, in the AMC recap describes it as the watchtower. But on Wikipedia, on The Walking Dead Season 6 Wikipedia, the description there says it's the church tower. I guess AMC, the source, the makers of the show, that probably wins.
Okay. Could it be the clock tower?
Clock tower. We can call it the clock tower. We can call it whatever we want. But you think no sabotage. You think just the result of the truck ramming into Alexandria and causing a ruckus.
Yes.
Yeah.
So technically, I mean, it was from the wolves, but no, I don't think that there are wolves in the midst.
It wasn't a follow-up play.
No, I don't think so.
Got it. Steve Campbell had written in, had a suggestion about how this upcoming finale might play out. Steve writes, Abraham just found a rocket launcher with 4 rockets. Daryl just learned from Dee that if you create a giant fire, the walkers will go towards it in mass and burn to a crisp. But a rocket launcher won't create a big enough fire to consume a horde of walkers the size that currently exists outside of Alexandria, right? Oh, yeah. Daryl just so happens to find a fuel tanker named Patty. Draw the walkers away, take cover, rocket launcher and Patty get acquainted, and boom! What do you think about that? Did Scott or Steve, it's like the Lost thing. Did Steve Campbell just predict what's going to happen in the finale? That sounds pretty good to me.
I feel like I've heard this before.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I believe that I predicted that on last week's show, on the recap.
Are you Steve Campbell?
No. No. But I mean, that seems like the most likely plausible scenario.
Writing in with an alias, Rob?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
You're not Rob Campbell?
I'm not saying that I'm not above that, but I'm saying that that wasn't me.
Got it. So maybe it's just in the air. Maybe y'all agree on how this is going to play out. But I think that. I think that sounds good. That sounds good. Let's wrap this up with our friend Umberto, who no longer has to grieve about Glenn, is totally good about the Glenn thing. But let's see if maybe there's somebody else to grieve moving forward. And Umberto is Anonymous 237.
Robert and Joshua, this is Umberto calling from Miami. Let's get real, guys. Who is dying? I mean, that Rosira, Eugene, lines over there, like, make me think that somebody's going to get coward and somebody's going to die there. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm liking this Glenn and Enid dynamic. Maybe he wants to adopt her, or maybe she's just going to die. Or Carl, I mean, Carl's got to get shot, right? Carl sucks, right? Let me know what you think.
I like that Umberto is sort of putting into the ether that Glenn and Maggie are going to adopt Enid.
Yeah, I like that too.
All right, Josh, I'm glad you pulled this question last because I did pull our Walking Dead death pool predictions for the first half of season one.
So prepared.
I'm sorry, the first half of season six.
Okay, great.
Okay. So here's who we said. Okay, our one major character that we thought could potentially die. You had Daryl.
Okay.
I had Abraham.
Okay.
I think they're both probably safe heading into the finale.
I would guess so.
Okay. Then we had some sort of a character on the periphery that we thought could die. You had said famously Nick.
Yeah.
Which was right. I said Tara. I don't think Tara is dying in the midseason finale. Then we had our wild card person. Who is the person that could be a wild card that dies? You said Jesse. I had Ron Douche. Feel a little bit better about my pick dying this week than yours.
Ron's got to go, right? Like, this guy, he's not long for this world.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like the embodiment of everything that Rick has been, you know, talking against. Of like, you do stupid stuff and you die here.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's going to do the ultimate stupid thing by stalking a Grimes with a gun.
It's the ultimate in the character that always dies on The Walking Dead. The character that Rick says, whatever you do, do this. And then the character that disobeys Rick, they always end up dying.
Right. So you've got Ron in that spot. Yeah, it's probably pretty good. I would not expect Ron to make it out of whatever Alexandria shenanigans are about to ensue. That seems like a good pick.
And then we had the character that is 100% safe, sort of going out on a limb.
Yeah.
Who's the character that's safe? You had said Father Gabriel.
Ah! Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Do you remember why I said that?
I think you just felt like that we had thought Father Gabriel was going to be a real antagonist this season. And he really didn't have a lot of airtime other than, you know, that I saw on the Walking Dead subreddit, they compared the Rick and Father Gabriel relationship to Michael Scott and Toby relationship.
Yeah. I like that.
Which is very funny. And I had said the person that I think is safe no matter what is Sasha.
Okay.
So we will see. We'll see.
I feel like Sasha's at more risk than Father Gabriel. Still, I guess I hold to that. Just because I feel like we haven't done enough with Father Gabriel and there needs to be a little bit more before we can bump him off. That being said, if the first scene or two of the midseason finale is from the perspective of Father Gabriel, like if he's the focus character, he's not making it out alive. Like that's your sign. That like if the episode begins and if it is the church that's falling and like Father Gabriel is watching it fall and he's all heartbroken and stuff, expect him to get his face eaten off before the end of the hour.
Yeah, could be good. So that's just our reset of our Walking Dead death pool.
So that's where we are right now. Do you want to just toss one more person on each just as like a final Hail Mary?
Final Hail Mary of who's going to die in the midseason finale. Okay, who do you got?
I'll will Tobin's death into existence.
Tobin's death.
Yeah, the builder.
He's been such a solid guy with Red.
I know, that'd be very sad.
Yeah.
But you got to imagine some of these Alexandrian red shirts are going to go. So how about you, we're just picking Alexandrian red shirts. Give me an Alexandrian red shirt that you think will not make it out of.
Well, I said Olivia.
Okay, so I've got Tobin, you've got Olivia.
Anybody bolder? You want to say that there's somebody that's a more exciting character to die?
More exciting character to die. I'll give you first pick.
Okay, I'll go with Enid.
Enid?
Yeah.
Okay, go with Enid.
Like maybe, okay, here's what happens. Like Rondu, she's like, I'm going to kill you, Carl. And then he kills Enid. He's like, oh no, what have I done?
Right. So I'll go with Glenn.
Wow, what a move that would be. I mean, this whole podcast, we would be have a lot of egg on our face to come back next week for this.
Yeah, I just feel like what, talk about a Shaggy Dog story. Like if that's the ending of the first half of season 6, you know, that just seems great. So I would like to, if Glenn were to be the one who died, I'd like to be able to come into the finale on Sunday night with my arms in the air.
Yeah, if they did do that, the change.org site would just be overrun. Just much like the Alexandria fence, it would just be like angry Walking Dead viewers just like over knocking the walls over of change.org.
Yeah, it'd be bad. It'd be bad. All right, so that's my bold pick. I'll take Glenn. That's about as bold as it gets right now.
All right, so hashtag time. We have a Snooki spoiler.
Snooki spoiler, or, yeah, that's right.
If you want to be a little bit more adventurous, I did say that the Glenn death was the Kardashians of plot devices. What do you think of the hashtag Kardashian?
Kardashian. you're a monster.
In honor of the return of the great Stephen Young.
You're a monster. Sure, let's do that. Let's be adventurous. Let's live a little.
And we'll leave it up to the viewers. Figure out how to spell Kardashian.
Wow. Eventful podcast when the early frontrunners were Dumpster Balloon and Cock-a-Doodie Dumpster.
Cock-a-Doodie Dumpster as well.
And this is where we wound up.
All right. Of course, you could follow Josh on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. I am at Rob Sestrino. We'll be back this Sunday night to talk about everything from the midseason finale. It should be certainly eventful. Also, be sure to check out everything else we're doing on post-show recaps, including our upcoming review of Into the Badlands episodes 1 and 2 on our weekly catch-all scripted TV podcast. Most shows recapped. You can get that all on postshowrecaps.com/iTunes.
All right. That sounds fun. Rob, one more live show, one more feedback show, and then we are done with season 6A. Can't wait to put this one in the books. I think that this is going to be really fun.
All right. We will see you there on Sunday night live, 10:15. That's where you go for your live Walking Dead after show. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.